Hello, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. A busy day today as the Eagles make that transition from Washington on Monday night to San Diego on Sunday. We've got a great show for you today. Chip Kelly in studio, Chip Kelly in studio, coordinators press conference. And Merrill Reese stops by to talk about his experience on Monday night. The veteran broadcaster really enjoyed the show from FedEx Field. Eagles getting ready for their home opener. And to get you started today, we go to Bo Wolf with today's headlines.
Thanks, Dave, and let's get to your headlines here on Eagles Live. And the talk of the NFL this week has been the fast pace of this Eagles offense that was unveiled on Monday night. But Chip Kelly said on Tuesday that this offense can go even faster. He was talking about in between plays, getting the ball to the official so that the Eagles can get right back to the line. Brent Celek said the same thing yesterday. On the defensive side of the ball, a couple issues at cornerback. Bradley Fletcher, who started against the Redskins, he has a concussion. He has to go through the post-concussion protocol this week. That could mean that Brandon Boykin could be set to start on the outside with Jordan Poyer and Brandon Hughes returning. Hughes, of course, was re-signed on Tuesday after he was released over the weekend. General Manager Howie Roseman said that he was most impressed with the Eagles' resilience on Monday night, bouncing back after the early turnover. This Eagles team showed that they can put bad things behind them and move on with this fast pace that the Eagles are using. The home opener, of course, on Sunday against the San Diego Chargers. Phillip Rivers and crew coming to town after a very disappointing Monday night loss after they blew a 21-point lead against the Houston Texans. Later on here on Eagles Live, head coach Chip Kelly joins us in studio.
Thank you very much, Bo. When we return to Eagles Live, Chip Kelly joins me in studio. Eagles looking to get to 2-0. We hear from the head coach next.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow. That's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Maybe I should get that.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Brian Urlacher?
I'm back to defend you from DirecTV's latest offer. With DirecTV, your bill more than doubles after a year.
Not cool.
And they lock you into a 2-year contract that could cost you over $3,000.
That's a lot of cheese.
That's why the smart play is Xfinity.
They've got everything a football fan could want. Go long. Don't get sacked by DirecTV.
Oops.
Xfinity is your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
I'm Chip Kelly, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We welcome you into the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by Eagles head coach Chip Kelly. Eagles opening the season with a win in Washington. Now it's the home opener on Sunday against the San Diego Chargers. Coach, what did you learn about your team on Monday night? I mean, it was a tough environment. You go down early. Team bounced back. From a mental standpoint, that's got to make you very happy.
It did. You know, I don't know if I learned anything. I think everybody else learned what I felt. We as a coaching staff felt, you know, being around these guys for as much time as we've been around them. You know, we knew we were going to play hard. You know, in a game like that, in a hostile environment, that you're going to make mistakes. But if we go out there and compete and play to our fullest, then we got a shot at winning the thing.
You got a lot of new pieces in the locker room, a lot of new faces. The leadership, I mean, we talked about this a little bit in the preseason. Where does that come from? How do you feel about how it's developing, the camaraderie, the leadership, the veterans kind of taking charge?
Well, chemistry and attitude are the two biggest things, I think, on any team or any organization. And I think our players genuinely like being around each other. They enjoy spending time with each other. You got to spend the hours that we spend. It's really important that everybody gets along, and I think we do as a team.
Coach, LeSean McCoy, I mean, number 25, 184 yards, huge game. Just been doing it for the last couple of years here. You take over, and you have a chance to work with a talent like that. How do you describe LeSean, just as a player that you coach, as a talent?
You know, we don't have enough time in this show to describe LeSean, and I'm not talking about as a football player. It's a very complex, interesting individual. He's a lot of fun to be around, just that a vibrant personality. He's got a lot of energy, a lot of juice. He's always wanting to learn, always wanting to make himself a better player. He's a lot of fun to be around.
I know you've talked a lot about Washington, and I know your mind is in San Diego, but if we could just go back to the first half against the Redskins, as you looked at it on tape, how did you describe what you saw in the first half offensively?
We were okay. You know, I think there's a lot of things we need to do to play better. We did play hard, and that was the biggest thing we wanted to talk about going out into the first game, is that we control our effort and we control our attitudes. Obviously, we're going to make mistakes. You know, things are going to happen during the course of the game. You know, you drive down the field in the opening drive and then have a lateral called on you, and it wasn't a forward pass, and they pick it up and return it for a touchdown. But, you know, really liked how our players reacted. All right, let's go back out and let's do it again, you know, and not let the last play affect the next play. And I think from a mental standpoint, really, really liked where our players were at. But there's so many things we can work on, and there's so many things we have to continue to work on to be a really good football team. And I think our players understand that.
We're Wednesday here. It's a short week. What's the key to getting everybody back focused intensity-wise and then from a physical standpoint in a short week?
We had, you know, our players in yesterday just for meetings. They were great. Obviously, when you win, there's a little bit better attitude coming into things. But you know, we got to get back out on the field today. It's a normal Wednesday in NFL speak. So, we got to get back to work today. So we'll be back out in the field. Usually our Wednesday is a full padded practice. We're going to save that and not be in full pads today just because we played 2 days ago. But we're back out in the field. We got a two-hour training session, and we got to start preparing for the San Diego Chargers.
Chip, everybody talks about how they follow the football, and they talk about the pace, and you've gotten all these questions, raves about the offense. I kind of spent a lot of time on Monday night watching away from the ball, and the wide receivers blocking, and the tight ends blocking, and the running backs blocking, and even Michael Vick blocking a lot. Off the football, everybody's into it, throwing their bodies into the cause here.
Yeah, they are, and that's what it is. It's a total team effort, and that we have to have 11 guys on each play playing with great effort. And if we can get 11 guys consistently playing 4 to 6 seconds with relentless effort, then you got a shot, you know, and we talk about that all the time, is that we control our effort. You know, there's nothing saying that we can't play hard. You know, it's really just trying to develop that mindset. And I think our players really understand that, and they buy into that because they see the success when they do play hard, you know, what the results are.
On the defensive side of the ball, great effort from that group, taking the football away. Interesting to see Trent Cole in a new role just come bursting out of the gates. What's been the key to his transition to a new kind of a new set of responsibilities?
It is a new set of responsibilities, but the first thing you notice when you meet Trent is that he just loves playing football. You know, and whether he's in a two-point stance or a three-point stance, he's still going to play with that same passion. He's still going to be ultra-aggressive. He's going to be a tone setter on the defensive side of the ball. And whether we have him with his hand on the ground or standing up, you're going to get the same player.
Is Michael Kendricks kind of in that same category, just as another set of responsibilities from last year? comes in and just blows everything up on Monday night.
Yeah, you know, obviously the first thing you notice about Michael when you start to work with him is just his athletic ability, and I think Billy Davis and our defensive coaches are doing a really good job of taking advantage of that and putting him in places where he can make plays. You know, he's a unique player because he's got a unique skill set. He's an outstanding athlete and does a great job of rushing the passer, but he's also our best cover linebacker. So I think the versatility that Michael brings is kind of key because the defense just can't key in and say he's the backer that's going to blitz all the time. Well, that would make things easy for him. You know, one time he blitzes, the other time he's in coverage, but he always seems to be around the ball.
Another guy I want to talk about, Brandon Boykin. He's a return man. He's a nickel cornerback. He's down the field on punts. Great effort. You've given him a lot of responsibility. And he has handled everything, hasn't he?
He has. He explosive young player. Really has a lot on his plate. He's our nickel, so he plays a ton for us there. He's also an outside corner for us, you know, backing up Fletch and Kerry. And has really played really, really well for us on special teams. But just another guy that's ultra competitive, plays with great effort, and had a really, really good game last Monday night.
Chip, seven rookies on this roster. It's a rigorous schedule. What do you look for from young guys kind of just handling the load here?
To just not be bigger, you know, not let the situation be too big for them. You know, they need to be bigger than the situation is that you are a rookie, but that's not an excuse. That's not a, you know, you don't get a hall pass because you're a rookie. You know, you still have to put your time in. You have to put your work in. You have to show up here every day with a great attitude. And the ones that we kept, that's the reason we kept them.
San Diego Chargers on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. What have the Chargers shown you this week here?
Good football team. You know, an outstanding quarterback. Phillip Rivers has been around for a long time. Extremely intelligent. Antonio Gates is one of the, you know, the best tight ends to play the game, not just in the NFL currently, but one of the best to play the game. You know, multiple Pro Bowls. Very diverse on the offensive side of the ball. Rashad Matthews can run the ball, you know, so they're not just a one-trick pony. They can run the ball. Defensively, they actually kept their defensive staff, even though they have a new coaching staff. They kept their defense intact because they do a really good job on that side of the ball. So, you know, they played in a heartbreaking loss to the Texans, you know, immediately after us on Monday night. So they don't have an advantage from a extra day of preparing. So we're all on the same schedule. But we expect them to come in here, and like any game in the NFL, it's going to be a slugfest.
You referenced the Eagles fans on Monday night in Washington, lots of them showing up. What's the message? What would you like to – what kind of energy do you want from Eagles fans?
They just need to be themselves. You know, I'm excited to see what it's like in a home opener. You know, it was interesting, and I brought a smile to my face when, you know, the Redskins are trying to drive the ball in the fourth quarter, and I'm hearing defense chants in RFK Stadium. I just kind of was chuckling to myself. I'm like, that's pretty good following, you know, at an away game. So can't wait to see what it's like in the home opener.
It's just the beginning. Chip Kelly in studio here. We thank you for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, just white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, $1 Million Spectacular, with five top prizes of $1 million. It's kind of fun to knock it out of the park. Keep on scratching.
This big and toasted is better than ever.
Gotta be the steak.
Oh, it's the steak.
Maybe it's the ambiance or the witty banter.
No, it's a steak.
It's definitely a steak, man.
The new Angus Steak Big and Toasted is even better. It's big on steak, huge on delicious. Grab one today. America runs on Dunkin'.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles.
With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Jerry Azzanero, defensive line coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
How's it going? Good. All right. I'll try to answer your questions. I know Coach Kelly's had an opportunity to visit with you a couple of times since we played on Monday night, but what I'll tell you is, just like every week, we're already deep into our preparations for the Chargers, and so that's kind of where we're at. And I know our guys are looking forward to getting out here and having our first practice. So I'll take your questions.
Looking at the tape of San Diego's game against Houston, what happened to their pass defense in the second half from your observation?
Yeah, you know what, I think there were, number one, I think Houston throws the ball extremely well. Houston had a few things happen to them early. And they're very efficient at throwing the football. And it was one of those tight games. It really kind of came down to the end, a little bit like ours did. You know, our game got to the point where late in the game they needed to make three plays to beat us. They needed to score quickly, obviously get the onside kick, and then score again quickly. And that's kind of how that game played out in San Diego.
Pat, how much of the offense would you say we saw on Monday night?
How much of it?
Yeah, how much of it?
Well, you saw the way we like to function through most of the game, and we just feel like we got to play better. You know, even though we won, and there's been a lot of conversation about how we won, when we looked at the tape, you know, we saw lots of errors, way more than we want to have, and so that's what's fun, is being able to enjoy the victory, but know that we can play much better. And I know Coach Kelly commented on how we can play much faster as well.
Now, when you go to the unbalanced line with Peters and Johnson on the same side, what does that give you offensively?
Well, let's talk about the obvious. You put a three surface side with two tackles over there, so that's number one. Forces the defense to adjust, and then we have a package of plays that we like to run based on how they respond, how they line up, and so forth.
Is James Casey a different player than you anticipated when you signed him?
No, I think James Casey's gonna have a large contribution as we go on. You know, we're gonna make an emphasis to make sure that we play all of our players. I think what's important is once we put the active roster together and guys are active, we trust all of them to be out there. And so it's a long season, and if you just add them up, we're gonna run a lot of plays, and so we're gonna need everybody. And there'll be some games where guys don't play as much as others. And but we feel like he's a guy that's going to need to be very productive for us to play winning football.
Looking at the tape, how did Lane Johnson do in his first start?
Well, obviously I was concerned going into it just because he's a rookie, for no other reason. But he responded well in the preseason. I think he battled, and like everybody, he had his errors. But we were pretty pleased for Lane in terms of how he prepared, or, you know, really how he played. He did a good job.
Have you watched the tape with Mike of when he was going into some of the lead blocks on the run plays, and had any conversations with him about that yet?
Yeah, we did. I talked to him during the game, after the game, on Tuesday. You know, I think it's important. The one thing that I admire about Mike is something that we've all seen. He's extremely tough. He's very competitive. And when the game's going on, he reacts to things like you want a football player to react. Now, we don't want him lead blocking on sweeps, and so we told him don't do that. So we assume he won't. You know?
Michael practice today?
Yeah, he'll practice.
He played three wides a good portion of that game and still ran the ball 30 times in the first half. How important are Jason and Riley and their blocking ability to being able to do that with that package?
Well, I think you should be able to run the football no matter who's on the field. We have ways to run the ball, whether we're in three wides or in two tight ends. We can be in three tight ends or we can be in four wides. So what personnel we put on the field, number one, doesn't say we can't run the football or we're going to do it more or less than others. But in terms of our guys blocking on the perimeter, it's very, very important. And we're very fortunate here. We've got guys that'll do it, take pride in it, and are able to do it throughout the game. We've always talked about it. You know, perimeter blocking comes down to effort and angles. And we talk about it quite a bit, that their effort and their angles that they take and their competitive nature can make a good play great and make a great play a touchdown. And I think that's the approach those guys take, and that'll help us get some explosive plays in the run game.
What's the most effective way to manage a game late when you have a lead?
Well, I don't think we're trying to manage a game, number one. We're trying to play. We realize you need to score points, and you need to score more than your opponent. And I think we all know, regardless of what league you're in or where you've coached, you can't score too many. As far as managing the game, obviously there's a component at the end of the game when you're ahead where every Eagle fan wanted that clock to run. Now, you know, I think what's important is you play efficient football. So whether you choose to run it, which of course keeps the clock going, you need to gain yards. And then if you choose to pass it, you need to complete the ball so the clock doesn't stop. And so, you know, all it does is speak to efficiency. And then, you know, there are times, and we need to do a better job of playing from the huddle. You know, our guys have embraced playing fast and at the line of scrimmage. But there are times when you take it from the huddle where you get in the huddle with 18, you break with 12 and try to snap it with the clock running. So, you know, those are just all things that we all know as coaches. And we just got to do a good job of being efficient, right? But you, to be efficient means you move the ball, you don't have penalties, and when you get close, you score.
When you look at the replay of this game, many other games, with zone blocking, there's so much space for the running backs. Why don't all teams do zone block?
All teams do zone block.
As much as you guys do.
All teams, and some teams more than us. But we zone blocked the other night, and we gap blocked as well. So I guess I don't know what you're getting at with the question. Everybody in the NFL zone blocks to some degree. Everybody in the NFL gap blocks, and I think that can be said for, it's like when family's going to have a baby, it's going to be a boy or a girl. I mean, you zone block or you gap block, and I think that's, you know, that's kind of it.
With Nick and Matt, what kind of things do you guys do to make sure they're still ready in case something would happen to Mike? I mean, does Nick still get, like, reps with the first team in practice?
Well, everybody plays, and that's a good question. Everybody plays, and everybody that's active is prepared to go in whenever needed. And I think that's just the way our guys are wired. That's the way they're trained. And we've seen many, many examples where guys are playing and they didn't expect to. But our guys expect to, and I think that's why it's important that however we do it in practice, however they do it in our training sessions, we got to make sure that they get themselves ready to go. Whether you're with the ones or not, it doesn't quite matter. Let me get your follow-up.
Yeah, just if you don't mind. I guess when Andy was here, like, you know, the backup quarterbacks never really got any snaps with the first team. And, I mean, is that different with –
Well, that's traditionally the way you do it, and for the most part, the starter gets most of the reps during the week with the starting unit. But we do blend in, you know, Nick and Matt getting their reps. When we simulate, you know, it's interesting too. When we simulate for our defense, a lot of offense is very similar, no matter who you play for, and so they get some of those reps there as well.
Sean had north of 30 touches, and I was just wondering, is it important to get Bryce some more work in order to sort of keep LeSean fresh? And then ultimately, as you move forward, what's the kind of balance that you want to see between those two in terms of touches?
Yeah, balance, participation, regardless of whether you're talking about running backs or we're talking about tight ends earlier. I think everybody that's in there needs to get good explosive reps, and when we're going to get more reps than we have in past years, it's important that they all play. You know, I don't know what the good number is, but he carried the ball quite a bit, and he's no worse for wear.
Is John Pagano's scheme the same as he had before the coaching change?
Very similar. Last year in my former life, we played him, and he was the coordinator in San Diego. And the scheme is very similar. How they play is very similar. They blitz, you know, or they pressure a little bit more. But how they line up and the fundamentals and principles of what they teach are similar to a year ago for sure.
Guys, when you look at San Diego's defense, that kind of jump out?
Well, they got a lot of new faces, and I think they've got a good unit. They've added to their secondary from a year ago. They've got a lot of new faces, and you know, I think they play well as a unit, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to single out anybody at this point.
Tim McCoy, one second. So when you see the 31 carries at the end of the game, do you say that's too much, or you guys feel kind of comfortable with the amount of workload that he had?
We won the game. He carried the ball. He carried the ball well. Was very productive. You know, obviously, we want everybody that's active to play, and he did a good job, and he'll be out here running and practicing today, and so that's not a problem.
Did Washington play mostly nickel against your 11 packages? And do you think if you continue to have this kind of success running the ball, you're going to be able to force teams to play more base against it?
I think it's a personal preference for the coordinator. Typically, when you put three receivers on the field, you'll get five defensive backs, so they'll match up with a nickel corner, so to speak. That's very typical of what we see in the NFL. There are some first and second down situations, though, where 3-4 teams will leave their base personnel on the field. But when you get then to three wide receivers in third down situations, there's times when you don't even go to three wides where they'll go nickel. So we kind of expect that.
When you're playing your up-tempo with no huddle, if they start a possession with their base package, they're kind of stuck, aren't they? I mean, which is...
They're stuck as long as we don't sub.
Right.
Yeah, and... That's true. But as soon as we sub, so even if it's a back for a back, let's say LeSean needs a break and we put Bryce in there, then they'll slow the ball down so that they get a chance to sub. So
okay. Thanks, Pat.
Good. All right.
All right, that is Pat Shurmur, Eagles offensive coordinator. Everybody trying to just find out a little bit more about the mystery, or rather unlocking the mystery of this Eagles offense. Now we go to the defensive side with Bill Davis, defensive coordinator.
Loading it up so you don't miss quote.
Yeah. Oh, we will.
Got phones.
Oh, don't worry about it. We'll miss quote.
So, Bill, how was that first game for a starting point? You talked about...
Yeah, it was... first of all, it was great to get a win. And then when we went back and looked at the tape, you know, naturally when you first... get the win, you're excited, you enjoy it. I've learned a long time ago that no matter what happens on that field, you walk out of the stadium with a win. That's first and foremost. So we were excited about that. Then when you put the tape on, you saw how much work we have left to do. It was a great effort, a great performance by the defense. Plan going in was to take care of the running game, which is really what they're built off of. And I thought the guys did a great job of executing the plan. Now, within that were lots of mistakes and technique errors and things that we need to work on and must improve on.
What did you like from the run defense? I mean, that's a kid who ran for almost 1,700 yards last year.
Yeah, that's an outstanding offense. And both the run and the play-action passing game is really who they're, you know, what they're built on. And the guys, the outside backers, did a great job of setting the edges and keeping the ball from getting outside, and the inside defensive linemen and backers and safeties really were pretty gap sound. And that was what our emphasis was going in, and the guys executed, and good results happened.
Washington acknowledged that there were looks that they didn't see in the preseason. Now that there's film on this defense, what do you need to do to kind of stay a step ahead there?
Well, the system is built. The defensive staff and we've built the system to where hopefully it can handle the issues of the week. And every offense that you face has a different dynamic to it. I mean, this offense we're facing this week is so much different than Washington's. So you've got it within your scheme and the techniques that you've used, build it around what you're trying to stop and what they do the best. And that's really what every offensive and defensive coordinator is attempting to do, is stop what they do the best and what that offense or defense is built off of.
And what are the issues of this week?
Well, they've got a great passing attack and running game. I mean, they've got Gates, a perennial Pro Bowler. Rivers has been in and out of the Pro Bowl. They've got a new system. It's a great passing attack. They've got a very solid run game. It's week one. There's not a whole lot of tape on them either. So we, you know, looked at the preseason tape of what they're trying to be. They've got McCoy and Wisenhunt, a couple guys that have coordinated, so you got to kind of get their personality down. And they came out the other night and were on fire early and sputtered a little bit late, but it's a top offense.
Billy, one of the things that we've been watching for a couple of years now is tight ends running untouched against Eagles defenses. You held Davis to only 2 catches, I believe, and you're hitting the tight end. You going to continue to do that?
Well, the nature of the 3-4 defense in general helps you in getting that accomplished. I think each week, again, it goes back to who you're trying to, you know, what elements are really are you trying to stop of what they're doing. But it is an element of a 3-4 defense that you do get. The tight ends have a little bit tougher time releasing into the routes when you employ the 3-4.
We didn't seem at all that you were surprised by Trent Cole's performance. You have felt from the beginning that he would adapt well to that role.
I think the number one factor in Trent Cole having the performance that he had was the attitude that he took when we asked him to change to an outside backer and do something he's never done before. And his attitude and the way he attacked the challenge is why I believe he played like that. Now, Trent Cole, I don't think he's ever played a game where he hasn't gone 100% on every snap. And that's part of the reason he's so productive. But I really believe that the attitude that he attacked this thing with is why he had success the other night, and I believe he'll continue to have it because of the way he works at it every day.
You blitzed your corners out of the slot 2 times, Boykin and a carry the 1 time when he was lying. What kind of flexibility do they have to go? Is that something that they got to see before, or is that kind of determined pre-snap?
The scheme is built to where any member of the defense can be blitzing at any given time. We have blitzes for every position, corners, safeties, nickels, dimes, Mike backers. Anybody can be a blitzer, either through an active call or a check. So through the system and through the week, depending on what formations we're getting and what protection, there's so many things that go into it. But anybody can be a blitzer at any time.
And what went into the decision with Curry to activate the other guys over?
It was a team effort. Now, we had to go in stopping the run, and special teams played in, and who we were facing, the offense we were facing. So Vinny was the odd man out this week.
How much did you say just what you said that special teams went into it? So was it sort of like, yeah, we've heard a lot about versatility with you guys,
yeah,
being able to do multiple things and especially contribute on special teams. Is lack of that ability part of it?
I wouldn't say lack of. I would say, and again, I don't have all the special teams info. I would just say that probably somebody had, again, the special teams has a game plan that they have to stop. So all of us collectively pick and choose who are going to help us stop, effectively execute that game plan of the day, and special teams, offense, and defense all factor in, and you're only allowed so many up, so that decision is really an organizational decision.
So he's not one of your special teams guys. How hard is it then for him to just get on the...
We tell all the players from the beginning, the special teams is really what gets you active more than anything if you're in a backup role, and I think all players know that and understand it, and that's why it's such a vital part. I mean, those snaps are just as equally important as any offense or defensive snap. It's a play in the game that can affect the outcome, and we take it very seriously.
Kerry Williams was obviously, you expected a lot out of him. His performance in that first game, was that even better than anticipated?
That's the Kerry Williams we're hoping for, and really we see when you watch him day in and day out, and you're around Kerry, and he's a fiery competitor. And one of the things that jumped out to me in our Saturday practice, where we have just a complete walkthrough. Kerry was so focused and intense, his footwork, his eyes, his hand placement. In a walkthrough, you could just feel that Kerry was really amping up for this game and taking care of the details and the little things. And it was a great leadership role that he took that others follow. And then it showed on Sunday. He played the way he practiced, and he competes every down in practice like he did every down in that game. And he was rewarded for it.
How much is the early of Bradley Fletcher playing in this game coming up, and what's the plan if he can't?
Well, I think it's day-to-day, and luckily we get Brandon Hughes back. So, you know, we've got to see where Brandon is, and we've got to see where Fletch is. And it's daily that element will change. We will prepare and practice for all plans that have to if Bradley doesn't play. Right now we hope he is, but, you know, whatever.
Boykin go to the outside then if Bradley can't play?
We'll practice it a couple different ways, but that would be our first move probably.
Yeah. How much did the early lead there allow you to kind of call more blitzes later in the game? It seemed like you were dialing up a lot of those, especially in the second half.
Well, what I was trying to do was keep them off balance, and I keep coming back to that. Is I think the best defenses are the ones that keeping offense's rhythm and guessing. They're protecting more. There's a couple times early in the game they were keeping seven in to protect. And when they do that, you'd rather fall back and have the numbers better in your coverage than when they have numbers in protection, if that makes sense. So it was really what they were presenting and giving us at the time, and we were keeping them, really trying to keep the rhythm of that offense off balance.
When the offense is such a high-speed offense, when they're off the field quickly, like there were a few series in a row in the second half, you guys are out there very quickly. How do you handle that? How do you deal with it as far as substituting more, maybe, or you know, what can you do to get your guys ready when they're out there so much?
First of all, everybody that was active for us played, and I think that's part of it. If you're up and that's your pads on in this system, you're going to play. And I think from the beginning, and I've said this a couple times, when we first got together, the very first meeting defensively, we talked about being a no-huddle team, not a no-huddle offense. And the mentality that we take out there is we expect that it could be three and out or three and in very quickly. And if you go into with the right attitude and you prepare yourself in practice and be in the kind of conditioned, extra conditioning through the practice and what we do extra, I think is that how you prepare to be a no-huddle team, not just offense. And that's why defense has got to be in great shape also.
Bill, understanding what you had said about special teams being very important, for you as a coordinator to not have a guy who looked in the preseason as one of your best pass rushers, how does that, A, change your game plan, and, B, is that difficult to not have that kind of presence?
It's no different than any kind of an injury that may happen in the first quarter. I think you go in with a practice plan. We don't know the DX until really late. You know, we get there about the day before. We start kind of putting that together depending on injuries and who's back. Like, for instance, this week we don't know if Fletch is up or down. So you go in there with a contingency plan on everything. But if a guy is DX, it's no different than him being injured early in the game, and you've got to go ahead and adjust. And really, the defense is set up to where we can play to people's strengths or not strengths if we have them or don't.
John Prater a factor at corner? How quickly can he learn the defense?
Well, he's all the guys that we just picked up are doing a great job studying and getting it. But in the practice field, every practice is like gold to those guys, and we can see how far along they are in learning of the system because, you know, they're way behind everybody. But as soon as the system is picked up well and we see what we have, then he can be part of it.
Michael Kendricks have the leeway to call his own blitz depending on what he sees across the line of scrimmage.
Absolutely. Michael doesn't know. We do have within the package different variations of pressures and who goes and who doesn't, but they're a strict set of rules built each week by formation, and that's just one or two pressures. Other pressures, he's the only guy that's going. Other pressures, he's not allowed to go. So we do that and dictate it off protections that we think are getting or during the game present themselves to us. So it's an ever-moving target. But Michael is one of our Michael, you saw the other night, the burst he has and his pressures and his knack for it is very exciting.
Play against the team's top receiver regardless where that receiver lines up?
It'll be game plan to game plan. You know, we practice our corners right and left. They can play either way, so we have the ability from day one. We told them, you're not a right or left corner. You are every day. Matter of fact, we switch them out here in practice so they get a comfort zone on either one. So at any time during a game, if I felt I wanted to match them, I could. Or going into a game plan, we could match them against the best.
Did you use Earl Wolf as much as you had hoped to during the game?
Nate is our starter, and Earl will play. And every game takes on a little bit different flavor. And that game, the way it was going early, where there weren't many reps, and we were in a pretty good rhythm, he didn't get as many as I thought maybe going in, but he got what we felt he needed in that game. And we'll bring him along as we go and grow him as we go. Those bright lights of Monday Night Football, we wanted to check and see how, you know, all the young guys are responding, and it's a little bit different feel. We got a lot of football left, and hopefully Earl gets a lot of reps and is a big part of it.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
I like that. A no-huddle team. Team. Not just a no-huddle offense. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles live on this Wednesday from the NovaCare Complex. Coming up, the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, joins me in studio, and then later, Chris McPherson sits down in our Cover 2 segment with PhillyMag.com, Shio Kapadia, and Philly.com's Jimmy Kempski, looking ahead to the San Diego Chargers. And we want your predictions. Eagles Chargers on Sunday. We'll take some phone calls and take a look in live at practice at the end of the show. It's Eagles Live. We're coming right back. Merrill Reese next in studio. Yeah.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Maybe I should get that.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Brian Urlacher?
I'm back to defend you from DirecTV's latest offer. With DirecTV, your bill more than doubles after a year.
Not cool.
And they lock you into a 2-year contract that could cost you over $3,000.
That's a lot of cheese.
That's why the smart play is Xfinity. They've got everything a football fan could want. Go long. Don't get sacked by DirecTV. Oops. Xfinity is your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow, that's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties. The stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it. I knew
it's
it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
I'm Bob Bicknell, wide receivers coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We are joined inside the studio by the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, who, for the first time, I think, well, since 2010 at least, really enjoyed a visit to FedEx Field. And didn't complain about the broadcast. I didn't complain about it. There was nothing to complain about that night as far as I'm concerned. Never mind the fact that they sat us over in Chevy Chase. But I just enjoyed being there, soaking up the atmosphere, and seeing the Eagles just stick it to the Washington Redskins. What was it like for you, Merrill? Because we're all sitting there watching it from whatever vantage point we're in. And the first drive, it was immediate. It was attention grabbing. Yeah. It was startling. It was. It was the most exhilarating first drive I have ever seen. It was amazing. In all these years, I've never seen anything like it. Merrill, there have been some big ones, though. Yes. There have been the pickle juice game, opening the game with it, with an onsides kick and going right down the field. Well, and scoring. That was one play, but never was there anything with the rapid fire offense, the sense of energy, the picture of an old movie suddenly being speeded up and the guys moving their legs, you know, a mile a minute. LeSean McCoy, Merrill, we've talked about him over the years here, and I'm willing, and I've been willing for a couple of years here to put him in the category of Brian Westbrook. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if you came around last year. Oh, yes, I did. Okay. Last year, I said that Shady McCoy now ranks as one of the four great Eagles running backs. Van Buren, Montgomery, Westbrook, and his shadiness. Yeah. And with a bullet, because that kid had the kind of opener that we all expected that he would have a big year. But maybe if he stays healthy and everything goes according to plan here, the kind of year that you really never forget. He's elite. Yeah. He is an elite running back. He's right up there in that very small classroom where you find Adrian Peterson. Merrill, let's talk about the offense and questions that you might have about the sustainability of what Chip Kelly is doing, what Michael Vick is doing. In the big picture, where does this offense go, do you think? I think it keeps going, and I think it keeps growing.
And I don't think we're going to see it full bore for 60 minutes of a football game, but I think we're going to see it in and out, doing different types of things. Chip slowed it down in the second half, and wisely so. I don't think he was taking his foot off the accelerator too soon. I thought when that team had a 33-7 lead, they did the right things. They really did.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, and I think Jason Devon is a terrific football player. You know how I feel about him.
Yeah.
But his fumble late in the game that gave the Redskins the ball deeper in Eagles territory and presented them with the opportunity for a quick score, that made a big difference, because if the Eagles had just had an average drive, maybe picked up one first down and punted, that game wouldn't have been close. There would have been no drama at the end of that game.
Merle, the Eagles obviously are the subject of a lot of conversation nationally. People in love with this football team, fascinated by the football team. We all know that in the NFL, teams will adjust to what this offense is doing. Mm-hmm. At what point do you really think defense are going to try to throw and think at what Vic and co are doing?
As soon as they possibly can. That's why I say, as excited as I am, just wait a little bit. This is the National Football League. There are a lot of smart coaches, a lot of smart defensive coordinators who will come up with schemes that better prepare them to go against the Eagles more effectively than what Washington did. And just forget, don't forget also the fact that Washington does not have a very good pass defense. Washington gave up an average of 280 yards per game last year through the air. So you're not talking about one of the great defenses in the National Football League. They may have been the odds-on favorite to win the NFC East, but they're not a great defense.
I do think it's going to be interesting that the Redskins had months and months to prepare for it. Other teams will only have a week to prepare. So it's not like they're already sitting there going, you know, the Dallas Cowboys aren't saying, all right, let's start working on Chip Kelly's offense.
No, they're not doing that, but they are getting new tendencies. They are getting a feel for what the Eagles are doing. And I'm not saying they're going to be able to shut this offense down, but I'm saying let's just wait and see, because adjustments are made every week in this league.
Do you think defense is the most difficult adjustment will be in the formations, the play calling, that sort of thing, or the tempo of what this offense does?
You would think the tempo.
Mm-hmm.
You would think the tempo. But they'll do some things schematically also.
Merrill, the defense came out and took the football away from Washington, took Robert Griffin III out of the game, stifled the running attack. A much better, I think, first game than many thought. Your feelings on Bill Davis game one and the defense as it looks now?
Well, my feelings on Bill Davis haven't changed one bit, because from the day Bill Davis was hired, I thought the Eagles made a great choice for defensive coordinator. I've known Bill Davis. I've known his dad. He's very, very bright. Billy knows this game. He's been raised in it. He understands defensive football. With all due respect to Juan Castillo, who was a good football coach, Billy Davis was not an offensive line coach who suddenly became a defensive coordinator. Billy Davis is a defensive coach who has occupied that role in the past. And if his teams weren't ultimately successful in terms of how they ranked defensively, they were not his people. He had no control over personnel, but his schemes were never in question.
And so it appears that this defense is going to be aggressive, mm-hmm. that they're going to blitz, that they want to take advantage of Kendricks and the push he offers up front, and Trent Cole, who looked great on Monday night playing his new position, that they want
to... Which, by the way, Bill Davis told me throughout training camp that wait till you see Trent Cole. Well, everybody was saying, oh, Trent Cole doesn't have a role.
And everybody was saying that, too. Mm-hmm. What was Bill telling you? What was he?
He was telling me that Trent is doing just fine, and he's limiting his dropping responsibilities, but he's going to increase it. And there are a lot of ways to take advantage of the talents of Trent Cole, which are very, very measurable.
Yeah. I, Merle, I like when a defense plays aggressive football and attacks the line of scrimmage. That appears to be the personality of his defense.
I agree. It is a very aggressive defense, and you have players like Michael Kendricks and Trent Cole and guys who are going to be able... Connor Barwin.
Yeah.
Connor Barwin's another one who's going to have a big role.
Tough one on Sunday, Merrill. It's a game where you come off this emotion of the big win on Monday night. A non-conference team comes into town. Everybody liking the Eagles after kind of doubting the Eagles for much of the preseason here. For me, we've seen Eagles teams in the past not respond to this. What suggests to you otherwise that the Eagles still play a great game.
Just the fact that there is such excitement right here. When they come out on Sunday afternoon, they have got to be up. First of all, Chip does a great job of getting this team prepared. The guys are excited. You can feel it in the locker room. They're enthusiastic. But when they come out and Lincoln Financial Field is rocking, I mean, I have been around 102 years, 102 seasons, and I have never seen, it's been a long time since I have seen this city as excited about this football team.
Yeah, and then certainly the key will be Chip, making sure during the week that everybody's on their very much attention, focused on the attention to detail.
Absolutely.
And the San Diego Chargers are a good football team who come into town smarting after losing a big lead on Monday night and falling to the Houston Texans.
Blew a 21-point lead.
Yeah.
So if that isn't something that spurs them on, they don't want to be 0-2.
Yeah. Well, Merrill, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. I cannot wait to get back in that broadcast booth and call some more football.
I agree. That to me is what's different right now than the past several seasons with the Eagles. We cannot wait to get back into game day to see what this team's going to do.
I agree.
Yeah. Merrill Reese, thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you, Dave.
Merrill Reese in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, just white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
This bacon toasted is better than ever.
Gotta be the steak.
Oh, it's the steak.
Maybe it's the ambiance or the witty banter.
No, it's a steak.
It's definitely a steak, man.
The new Angus Steak Big and Toasted is even better. It's big on steak, huge on delicious. Grab one today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Hi, I'm Bill Lazor, quarterback's coach. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to our Cover 2 segment as we're going to delve into the Eagles' Monday night win over the Washington Redskins by a 33-27 decision and begin to look ahead to this Sunday's home opener against the San Diego Chargers. And to help break down the game, I welcome in Jimmy Kempsky from Philly.com, as well as Shiel Kapadia from the Birds 24/7 blog, which you can read on phillymag.com. And we've all been waiting to see what Chip Kelly's offense would look like, not in a preseason game, but in a regular season game. And boy, did it deliver. Jimmy, what was your initial impression of the Chip Kelly offense?
Yeah, it was impressive. And, you know, they ran more than 50 plays in the first half. And, you know, players were talking about how they could see evidence of the Redskins being tired, of course. And, you know, I thought that was pretty evident just watching the game itself on the field. And really, it was just an impressive performance. The defense helped out, of course, by turning the ball over and giving it back to the offense. And then even that first play of the game, or the first series of the game where they returned the interception, that might have even been somewhat of a blessing in disguise, because they ran 18 plays before the Redskins had even run one on offense. So, you know, the fast pace and just the number of plays, and Chip Kelly's been talking about that through really the entire offseason. And we saw it in play against the Redskins on Monday night. And you know, really all came together, I believe.
Now, Shiel, Michael Vick said after the game that we've seen maybe 60% of the offense. What else could we possibly have in store moving ahead?
Yeah, I think there's certain wrinkles they can certainly add every week. I think the foundation was there. A lot of stuff we saw in the preseason, certainly with Oregon under Chip Kelly, where you have the quick screens, you have a lot of zone read, you're running the football a lot, you have the run-pass combo plays. All those things were on the table in the preseason, and also Monday night against the Redskins. But then when they start moving those tackles out wide and doing some of those things that we had not seen in the preseason, I think those will be sprinkled in on a week-to-week basis, so that defensive coordinators watch this game tape, and all of a sudden they got to be ready just in case that's added when they play the Eagles.
Bottom line for you guys, it's going to make the All-22 that much more fun for you guys. You're going to throw in the stick figures, and you're just going to have picture upon picture upon picture down the list. Let's shift the focus to the defensive side of football, and Sheila, I'll start with you with this one. What did you think of Bill Davis's game plan? This is the first time we finally got to see the full transition into a 3-4 base game.
Yeah, to me, that was the surprise of the game. You know, I thought maybe they would have success offensively. Defensively, I had a hard time figuring out how they were going to stop RG3 and Alfred Morris. But the key was really they wanted to stop the run early. And then once they got ahead and put RG3 in passing situations, he was throwing blitzes at them, really, that we haven't seen here in 2-3 years with Michael Kendricks, D'Amico Ryans, Patrick Chung, these guys attacking the quarterback. And he really had a lot of success with that. So hats off to Billy Davis, the game he called.
Now, Jimmy, you had touched on this earlier. How important is it for this offense to have a defense that is opportunistic and can generate turnovers and even get points on the board like the Eagles were able to on Monday night getting the safety?
Sure. Well, you know, they had 3 turnovers early in the game against Washington on Monday. And, you know, last season it was a huge problem. They didn't turn opposing teams over really at all. I mean, they went with, what, a 7 or 8 game stretch without having an interception. And that was a huge, huge reason why they won 4 games last year. And really encouraging to see them, you know, get some. Brandon Boykin had an interception. Trent Cole had a forced fumble. Michael Kendricks was just all over the place. You can see him making all kinds of plays this season. You know, just Fletcher Cox, and there's playmakers up and down the line this year. And I think they'll certainly turn the ball over a lot more than they did in previous seasons.
All right, let's look ahead to Sunday's matchup, the home opener against the San Diego Chargers, a team that Eagles fans don't get to see at Lincoln Financial Field a whole lot. Jimmy, give us a preview of the Chargers.
Sure, and I think what you said is perfect. You know, it's a team that they don't see a lot of. You know, in preparation for this Eagles-Redskins game, you know, Jim Haslett, the defensive coordinator for the Redskins, had said they've been studying Oregon tape for the past few months. And, you know, it's kind of unrealistic for the Chargers to have done the same during the offseason. And the Eagles are a team that they face every 4 years. So for them to expend those kind of that kind of resources to you know, watching that much Oregon tape when you're just not seeing this team all that often, it's just for, you know, you do all that work for one game, doesn't really make a lot of sense. So they got a lot of catching up to do. I mean, they're going to have Oregon tape, of course, for the last few years, and they're going to have the first game against the Redskins. It's a short amount of time to really get up to speed on what Chip Kelly and his offense is doing. So really tough challenge for them this week to come into Philly and be well prepared for what the Eagles do.
And Sheila, how tough will it be for them coming off a very tough Monday Night Football loss where they had a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter, only to let it evaporate at the hands of the Houston Texans?
Yeah, I think that's huge to play that late game Monday night. Now you got a short week. You're flying across the country against a team which is really the mystery of the NFL right now. I know we talked about a lot of the things they showed we saw in Oregon, but obviously there are going to be new wrinkles. So from a preparation standpoint, I think it's going to be tough for the Chargers. Eagles are going to be in a pretty good spot here with the home opener.
Outstanding analysis from you gentlemen, from both Jimmy Kempsky and Shil Kapadia. I'm Chris McPherson, and thank you for joining us in our Cover 2 segment here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow. That's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Maybe I should get that.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Brian Urlacher?
I'm back to defend you from DirecTV's latest offer. With DirecTV, your bill more than doubles after a year.
Not cool.
And they lock you into a 2-year contract that could cost you over $3,000.
That's a lot of cheese.
That's why the smart play is Xfinity. They've got everything a football fan could want. Go long. Don't get sacked by DirecTV. Oops. Xfinity is your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, $1 Million Spectacular, with 5 top prizes of $1 million. It's kind of fun to knock it out of the park. Keep on scratching.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties. The stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA. Use it for all it's worth.
Hi, I'm Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro, Eagles Live, the name of the show here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're live again tomorrow at 11 as the Eagles get ready for the San Diego Chargers. We're taking predictions now, 215-339-6709, as well as taking a look at what's happening on the practice field on a really, really hot day in South Philadelphia. Shannon in South Florida. Fort Lauderdale joins us. Hey, Shannon.
What's going on, Dave? How you doing, man?
Good, good.
I'm trying to stay calm, Dave. I'm trying to stay calm, man. You know, I don't want to start thinking about, you know, 5 games down the road and the playoffs and everything. I like what I saw, man. I like what I saw. I don't want to see Mike leading with blocks. Mike Vick, he has to stay healthy. Hopefully he can, you know, he can get that down, man, and I'm just excited, man. Dave, do you feel as though that we're going to win some games just because of our coach, like those close games when
I'm going to really just enjoy it step by step. I you know, it's interesting. You get so conditioned that the win on Monday night was great, and honestly, by the time you get back into the office on Tuesday, everybody's looking ahead already to the Chargers, and only looking to the Chargers. So I think that Chip is off to a great start, and the Eagles are off to a fine start, and it's 1-0, a road win against an NFC East opponent. But I'm looking at San Diego. So with that segue, what is your prediction for Sunday?
I got the Eagles, man, 35-17.
Yeah, and thanks for the phone call. That's exactly why I'm so nervous, because everybody thinks the Eagles are going to blow out the Chargers. And I'm telling you, it will not be an easy game. The Chargers are smarting after their loss. The Eagles are playing a team that has a very explosive offense, a great quarterback, and a defense that's got some familiarity with personnel. So interesting that the Eagles Everybody's kind of done this 180, but not surprising. Bill in Maryland joins us on Eagles Live. Bill, thanks for calling.
Hey, Dave, what's happening, brother? Long time no talk, man.
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, are you kidding me right now? I'm still on a high from Monday night, brother.
Good. Well, you got the fans. I understand it. Please enjoy, revel in it, experience the fun. That's what it's all about. Internally, the everybody's got to get their heads out of the clouds and get back to business here. A good football team's coming to town on Sunday.
Yep, focus is on San Diego. I got a great prediction for you.
Go ahead.
All right, I'll go ahead and throw that out there. I'm going to say 41-27 Birds.
41-20.
Yeah, so, I believe that the San Diego Chargers are too inconsistent. I believe we're going to take advantage with this high-tempo offense again. Maybe switch up what we're going to do, get more Bryce Brown in the picture. But to be honest with you, I loved everything I saw Monday night, minus the second half when we went to more zone prevent and let RG3 rack up his numbers that way. But other than that, this hybrid 3-4 defense, the Tampa 2, it's looking amazing. I think I'm more impressed with the turnaround on defense and special teams. I know you guys talking about all last week, and it's phenomenal, aggressive, going to the ball. They're not missing tackles. It's beautiful, man.
Yeah, it is. Hey, Bill, thanks for the call. I think that it's really interesting to watch the defense mature. And something that you mentioned, Bill, that I think is super important, and a lot of people aren't mentioning, special teams. What a job by the Eagles on special teams. As we saw in the preseason, Eagles delivering again in the first game of the regular season. I mean, they came to play. They dominated field position, and it made a big difference in the game. All right, we're going to talk to Chris in New York now. Hey, Chris, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great today.
I'm doing great.
It's great to watch some great Eagles football on Monday night.
Nice to have it back, isn't it?
Yes, it was. It was nice to see linebackers blitzing up the middle, gang tackling, you know.
Yeah, the defense ran to the football, Chris, right?
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
I said to my friend earlier, I said one of the couple of defensive players really got to step up. You know, and I feel Kendricks did it. I mean, Cole was phenomenal. You know, and Terry Williams did it on the cornerback side.
Yeah,
so
it's all good so far. Tough challenge on Sunday. What do you think about Sunday?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, the Chargers are a good team. You know, they ran through the Texans defense, which you'd like to think is a little more powerful than us. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, they did early. And then the last five drives, they really struggled. A couple three and outs and a turnover.
I think, too, when you look at it with a team with a new offense coordinator, there's no tape. You know, there's no tape on the Chargers, so kind of get on the fly with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, look, the Chargers are I really respect Philip Rivers. I think he's a competitor. They've given the Eagles so many problems, particularly with the presence of Antonio Gates. How will the Eagles match up with such a talented tight end? The Redskins didn't really get Fred Davis involved at all on Monday night, but I guarantee you the Chargers will look to get Antonio Gates into the passing game early and often. What's your prediction, Chris?
My prediction? Oof. All right, I'm going to have to go. I think it's going to be a close one. Eagles 31, the Chargers 28.
All right, Chris, good stuff, man. Thank you very much. Take one more phone call here, 215-339-6709, before we wrap it up. Taking a look at practice here at the NovaCare Complex on a very, very warm Wednesday afternoon. Now, by Sunday, temperatures expected to be around, you know, 65, 70 degrees. Could really be beautiful for game day against the San Diego Chargers. It's the season opening game at home for the Eagles. And by the way, if you are in Philadelphia and you want to take public transportation, SEPTA offering free rides from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. SEPTA making it easy for you to take public transportation to Eagles home games. Andrew in Florida joins us here. Hey, Andrew.
How you doing, Dave?
I don't think you'll be taking SEPTA on Sunday to the game, will you?
I was kind of hoping that they'd extend the line down here to Florida, but I don't think so. I got to tell you, I watched that game Monday night from beginning to end, and I was so impressed with the energy that the team played with. And I can't wait to see what this team is actually going to be able to do when they're used to the pace of the offense. And they really get tuned in to what the staff is doing. It's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, and you make a good point, Andrew. The Eagles left a lot of plays and points and opportunities on the field on Monday night. There's a lot of growth going both sides of the football here.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was they're as fast as we were moving on offense. I don't think our offensive players are used to that pace yet either. And no. When they get used to it, they're just going to be dominating people, you know, offensively.
You got to stay healthy, win the battle up front. Lane Johnson will get better and better. You know, it certainly is a very promising group.
Yeah.
Give me a prediction.
Well, that being said, I'm gonna make my prediction now. I believe it's going to be Philadelphia Eagles 42, San Diego 24.
42 points. Wow. Hey, Andrew, thanks very much for the phone call. Everybody, look, we got 35, 41, 31, 42. The Eagles' offense has opened some eyes. Everybody feeling pretty good about the way this matches up. We'll take some more predictions from you tomorrow when we return at 11 o'clock on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We want you to stay tuned the rest of the way. Michael Vick addresses the media this afternoon, and then we'll have it all tied up in a nice bow with our Eagles update later in the evening. We thank you for joining us today on Eagles Live. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
Let's go!